From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will talk to us about the agricultural cash grain market. Steve Hilberg will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We'll hear from Daryl Good about this week's WASD numbers. And I'll invite you to help support this program in agriculture. It's all part of the Closing Market Report on this Friday. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished higher, as well as the corn, but the soybeans were lower. From the wheat pit, nearby March contract at $8.67 for the soft red, down rather up 4 1/4. The May at $8.98 3/4, 4 1/4 higher. And July, $9.25 1/2, up 4 1/2 cents. September futures, $9.50 1/2, 4 higher. December futures, $9.63 1/2, up 4. From the corn pit, nearby contract at $7.06 1/2. The March, 8 cents higher for the corn. May futures at $7.17 1/4, up 7 3/4. July, $7.22, up 8 1/4. And September at $6.63 1/4, up 3 1/4 cents. December futures were up 3 3/4 cents a bushel at $6.18 1/4. March soybean futures down 17 at $14.16. May at $14.29, down 16 1/4. July at $14.37, 15 lower. And the August at $14.17 1/2, down 12 1/2 cents. November soybeans $13.79 1/2, down 6 on the day. March oats at $4.18, down a penny. March bean meal at $3.78 1/10, down $4.40. March bean oil at $58.49, down 55. Livestock finished the nearby feeders at $1.26, so 2 1/2 for the March contract, up $1.20. February live cattle at $107.77 1/2, $1.12 1/2 lower on the day. And the lean hogs on the afternoon finished the February contract for 100 pounds at $86.40. They were down 32 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $85.38 a barrel are down $1.35. Ethanol at $2.46 1/2, a penny lower. Natural gas at $3.90 9/10, that's down 7 8/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.70 6/10 cents. That is currently trading a penny lower on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,359.90 an ounce, finished down $2. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 49 points higher at 12,278. And the U.S. dollar at 78.46 is up 0.21. The CRB index at 337.78, down 2.17 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. They say this afternoon, a few scattered snow flurries, cloudy, a high near 26 degrees, southwest winds between 15 and 17, they'll gust as high as 24. Tonight, scattered flurries before midnight, mostly cloudy, a low of 21, west-southwest winds between 11 and 15, up to 21 miles an hour later in the day. And then Saturday, partly sunny, a high near 33 degrees, west-southwest winds between 10 and 17, gusting to 24. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 27, breezy, southwest winds between 15 and 20. And Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 37 degrees, breezy, with a west-southwest wind between 15 and 23 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 32. On Sunday night, partly cloudy, breezy, a low of 26. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 39 degrees. Monday night, cloudy, low of 23. Tuesday, sunny, a high of 46. Tuesday night, cloudy, a low of 38. Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 50 degrees. On Wednesday night, a low, get this, just 42 degrees, mostly cloudy. And on Thursday, to be cloudy, the high near 55 degrees. A great forecast. We'll talk more about that at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd.
Well, we had a little swap job, you and Mike Zuzlo, swap days this week. I think it's good to talk to you on a Friday afternoon. Where were you yesterday, by the way?
Basically south of Champaign, doing some meetings, and then I spent some time at our Oakland facility there in Oakland. So I was kind of out on the road like I have been for the past several weeks, and I just happened to be in an area where my cell phone wasn't going to work very good, so that's why we did the swapping.
So Paul Cooley got to you yesterday, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, what did you and Paul discuss about the marketplace? Anything fun?
Oh, well, just constant normal chatter on how many acres farmers are maybe switching to corn, whether or not that's going to be enough or not. You kind of get a lot of different readings, and of course, this is what the corn market's all about here, I think, between now and planting, is to try to pull as many acres as it can into the corn market. You run your budgets, and yes, it's more profitable to plant corn, but that doesn't necessarily tell the whole story because you don't necessarily know what the growing season is going to be. You don't know necessarily when you're going to get that corn planted. You don't necessarily know what the yield's going to be. And, of course, like many farmers here in Central Illinois, never dreamt that their corn yields would be off 20 or 30% and their bean yields are up 10 to 15%. So, $100 an acre on the surface doesn't necessarily pull acres, big acres in the corn. And, you know, I'm kind of one, at least looking at studies, if we're going to get a big acreage number, I think you got to get that corn-soybean ratio closer to 2-to-1. And basically, you can look at December corn and November beans corn-soybean ratio. And it did go down to 2.23-to-1. So it is the lowest level it's been basically since last fall. So the market is going to try to, you know, bring people into the corn market.
Now, I asked this question, I think, yesterday, whether beans would fall and corn would stay steady. I got lucky, I suppose, for a while in that spread, at least for today. I don't know whether I call 8 cents up in corn steady, but the beans, that spread did widen out just a bit today. Do you think that there needs to be much more upside potential, I guess the question, in the corn market, or is it going to set up so that the bean market goes lower and you attract acres because of that?
Well, today's action might be a little misleading, I think, on the beans. I mean, basically what we're seeing here is the unwinding of the bull spread. So your front-end months are the weakest. Your distant months are not quite as weak. And what that is expectations of South American inventories moving into world channels, and that reduces demand for U.S. soybeans, at least as we go into the spring months. Whereas you can kind of take a look at corn, and corn kind of did the opposite. The strength all is in the front end, not as much strength in the back end. So we are seeing some character changes in the market, but basically when you look at USDA's ending stocks number for corn, if they're correct, and there's not more supplies out there than what we really know, is that we can't, we won't end up with that. Ending pipeline supplies is about $1.1 billion. So it basically tells you that somewhere along the line here, we have to take 300 to 400 million bushels worth of demand out of the marketplace between now and middle part of August, or what's going to happen, it depends upon how the planting season goes, and I mean that's the key, and how much early harvest we get. There could be some people, end users, not have cash corn, no matter what the price is, sometime between mid-August and mid-September. So there's a 30-day window there that could get a little tricky depending upon how the growing season goes.
Your pipeline number sounds a lot higher than I was thinking it might be. I thought that it was closer to the, well, right where it is, 675 to 750 or something.
Well, we use about 1.1 billion bushels a month, so It's going to be tricky to get below 1.1 billion.
Okay, so you're saying pipeline is a one-month supply, and we're less than that, about, what, 20 days at this point, according to the USDA number at 675.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you got to remember, it's all about logistics, too. I don't know how much of that $675 billion they got that's still in bad corn, damaged corn, sitting around to be blended off with some bare corn. So the supply-demand table is very, very tight and very skinny. And like I said, unless USA finds some bushels, and we're going to find that out here, on March 31st, they're going to take a snapshot and see how many bushels we do have left or how much we've used up to this point. And, of course, the big fear is very similar to what we had in 1997, is if that number does not show that we're going to have enough supplies to get between April 1st and September 1st, then you spike the market higher like you did in 1996 when the market realized it wasn't rationing inventories. And then, of course, you had that run up into 560, back in June of 1996.
One more question for you on the acreage and number of acres that are needed. It appears that compared to last year, there's about 9 or 10 million acres that are available. 3.7 million, of course, are going into wheat. And then you got to start talking about double crop soybeans and extra cotton acres at, what, 1.7 or something. But it doesn't look like there are enough acres to make things happen the way they should this spring.
Well, that's what the general consensus is. Now, I do expect some numbers here to come out from the USDA, and maybe not show up to the USDA Outlook conference, but they're going to show some pretty big numbers. I mean, we're going to show, they're probably going to come up with a 92 or 93 million acre corn number, I suppose. Then you get tricky on the beans. And that's why it's going to be interesting times, especially if you get into some weather problems at any point in time during the growing season this year. It's going to get real tricky.
Dan, thank you so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. The Closing Market Report, WILL Radio, lost a very good friend of the station and of the university this week. You might recall, if you've been listening to our station for a very long time, that Paul Bates was a regular on our air while he was still a commodity broker. He retired quite some time ago. Paul passed away this week. The chancellor of the University of Illinois was here when Paul was on the air with us, and the dean of the College of Aces at that time as well. He now joins us by phone to talk a little bit about Paul Bates and his importance to the university and the agricultural industry. Bob Easter, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
It's a sad day, but it's a pleasure to have a chance to say something about a true gentleman.
And I think that's probably what most people would say about Paul. When did you meet him?
No, I was trying to think through that. As a faculty member, I worked with the pork industry, and that goes back to the late 70s. And it seems like I've always known Paul Bates, so it must have been sometime in that era.
And at that point, he'd been working with Heinhold, and that will be a name that's familiar with many in the state of Illinois and across the Midwest, too.
That's correct. And he was as I use the word gentleman, but a very insightful, very calm individual. Always available to just chat, give advice. Very, very good friend of the college and of the university.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're very busy, but I wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to talk just a bit about Paul and his importance to the university. He certainly was a friend here to the WILO radio station.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Chancellor Bob Easter from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Paul Bates, he is a friend of mine. In fact, I was glad to call him a friend. He was here when this programming started back in 1985. I was just a student, and I'm really very proud to say that Paul Bates was on my resume, and he put me on the places that I am in today, and I'm glad that that was the case. I took the opportunity this morning, to talk to Daryl Good just for a moment about Paul and the impact he had on the university and the college and WILL radio. And just as I asked the chancellor, I asked Daryl when he first met Paul.
You know, I first met Paul when I first arrived at the University of Illinois in 1976. One of the first farmer meetings I did when I got here was in Bloomington, and it was a what has now become a kind of a traditional Outlook meeting, and Paul Bates was there and one of the presenters, and that's really the first time I met Paul, and we've maintained a relationship ever since then and have crossed paths a lot, including contributing to WILL.
He, like you, is considered a gentleman of the industry, I think.
You know, I think that's a perfect way to describe Paul. You know, the one word that comes to my mind when you say Paul Bates was integrity. You know, that Paul was a man of his word, and he was extremely objective about what he did, and he had the well-being of his clients and other farmers at the center of his attention. He was probably one of the more objective folks out there in terms of providing market information and market advice. One of the first as well. I mean, doing outlook and marketing strategies was really not required, was not even popular until the early 70s when prices exploded and people became aware of price risk again. And Paul was there, you know, from the very beginning providing that kind of information.
That was University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good talking about Paul Bates, who passed away at the age of 81. By the way, a celebration of his life service will be held at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon Central Time at the First United Methodist Church in Normal this weekend.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, and that means from time to time we do come to you in asking your support financially of our programming content. Today's the day. That's when we're going to ask, and we'd like you to dial in right now at this number, 217-244-9455. With your pledge of financial support, it's important that you step up as an agriculturalist to help support the programming that makes a difference, we hope, in your back pocket and the way you market your commodities. The number again to call is 217-244-9455. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is in studio with us this afternoon to talk more about that. Dave, hi, how are you today?
I am doing well, thank you, Todd. You know, we built this service on a couple of things. One, timely market analysis, and two, weather information. We thought that was our niche more than two decades ago, and we've been doing it ever since. And we hope that we give you the tools that you need to make the decisions that do, as Todd says, improves your bottom line and the money that you put in your back pocket. And we hope that the money that you invest in us, you feel, is money that is well spent, that brings you solid, dependable information that you can use not just today, not just tomorrow on Commodity Week, not just on Sunday on our other services, but 365 days throughout the year. You know, your partnership dollars have done quite a bit in the last several years. With your help, we've developed a phone service. We've expanded our website. We've added podcasts, a WILO agricultural e-letter, our commercial affiliate network, and a text-to-phone service. And we do have other ideas that we would like to expand on as well in the future. We can do that with your help. Go to your phone right now with your $120 contribution. We believe that's fair market value for what we think that you receive. Call 217-244-9455 or go to our secure website, willpledge.org, and say yes. I support Will Agriculture.
Thank you so much, David. It is important that you do that now. 217-244-9455. Don't wait. We'll talk to you again during the Commodity Week about this, but you may as well dial up right now. 217-244-9455 for our commercial affiliates in Hoopston and Watseka and Kewaunee and Clinton and in Taylorville. If you're listening to one of those radio stations, you're not off the hook. Please do give us a call as well, 217-244-9455. For those who listen to us on the podcast, the same deal goes. It's all part of the kitty. It all makes this programming work, and it's what we're doing here. It's how we get things done. We need your help. We try to help you each and every day, and from time to time, we come and ask you for a little help as well, that in terms of finances, and we sure would like you to dial that number and give us, a pledge of financial support. $120 would be great. 217-244-9455. It's fast, simple, and easy. On the phone line with us to talk about the cash grain market today is Bruce Bostert. He's here on Friday afternoons, as always, with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Out of Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Well, what are farmers asking you today about this cash grain market?
How high is it going to go?
And do you have a good answer?
I wish I did. I really do. It'd be warmer there.
Hey, I've got another question for you. How high is it go? Because the last time around it did this, there were bids that you couldn't get out, not for this current crop year, but for the next one. And that would be for the 12 crop year, I suppose.
Right.
How high does it go before you have to stop?
We are putting out new crop 12 bids. It's more the rally than the flat price. If you stay flat, you don't have the margin money you're anteing up. Right now we are going to be in for a while and buy a certain amount of bushels, and we'll see where we go as far as the financing.
All right, let's not deal with that any more than that. Get back to the old crop in the bin and the new crop that's yet to be put in the ground this year. Talk to me about basis and what you see.
Basis levels continue to hang in there. Nearby corn, we're 18 under. That's the same place we were last Friday. And new crop is a penny better. Soybeans, we've picked up 2 cents in the last week on the nearby, and the new crop's a little bit better. So, you know, you look at that corn, that's still some pretty impressive numbers out here.
Do you think it's an impressive enough number that if you were a producer, you'd go ahead and market?
At some point, you know, you're getting up there around $7. How much more do you ride it? I guess is at some point you just throw the towel in on the old crop and continue to sweat out how aggressive you want to be on the new crop.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at 689 on nearby corn, 586 on the new crop, 1396 on the nearby beans, and 1347 for new crop.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Have you dialed that number yet? 217-244-9455. This is quick, simple, easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Or you can hit willpledge.org or just go to willag.org. You probably can remember that one, and there's a big red button up in the right-hand side of the page. And pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I can't tell you how important it is that you do that. It's 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey and I like to think about the $120 level. We say that's the fair market value. Well, actually, that's what he said a bit earlier. That's the number we use, but frankly, more is better than not. So if you can give more, that's great. If you need to give less, that's fine, too. All that's really important is that you dial in now at 217-244-9455. Back in a couple of minutes, and we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg.
It's National Peppermint Patty Day. It's also Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the first hospital in America opened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, due to the work of Benjamin Franklin. In 1785, the Philadelphia Society for Promoting Agriculture was founded. It is the oldest active agricultural organization in the U.S. In 1802, Lydia Maria Frances Child was born. She wrote books of advice for women, including The Frugal Housewife. In 1928, the first Lazy Boy reclining chair was invented. Designed with a piece of plywood and a yardstick, the finished model was a wood slat porch chair. Upholstered chairs did not come until the spring of 1929. And in 1994, use of the genetically engineered growth hormone for cows, RBGH, began. The approval process took almost a decade. It was the first time that altered genes were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for injection into live animals. The growth hormone improved a cow's milk production by as much as 15 pounds a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Market report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, joins us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. But before I let him on the air, I want to remind you, you ought to be dialing this number now, 217-244-9455. If you forgot the number and the reason, it's because you like us and you want to make sure that we're on the air a long time. And you're going to pledge your financial support in hopes that that'll be the case. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Now here's Steve. Hi, how are you today, Steve?
Fine, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well, and I'm a lot better when I start looking out the next week, and I see some really warm temperatures for us.
Yeah, it's going to warm up. We'll get us extended period here where high temperatures will be above freezing, and that'll start promoting some of the snow melt around here. But it's not, I mean, anybody getting too excited right now, because we're not going to be seeing like 60s or anything like that for a while yet. And even I'm even a little doubtful about some of the 50-plus readings that might be being mentioned for next week. If you look back to our southwest, there's pretty deep snow on the ground all the way back into Arkansas and Oklahoma. And that's a long fetch of snow for air to move over. And even southwesterly winds, which normally around here mean warming weather, are going to be modified by that. So we will be warming, but probably not as fast as we would otherwise had there not been all the snow on the ground.
No, I liked you a lot better when we started our conversation.
I know, I get that a lot.
Any
other thing to think about is that as we get further into the week and we do get some melting and warming, there'll be a lot more moisture in the atmosphere, and we could start having some problems with fog and low clouds. So we won't be frolicking in the sunshine, so to speak. We might be cowering beneath the clouds. But nevertheless, we're going to start losing some of this snowpack, and it'll take a while, especially here in central Illinois where we had a lot of freezing rain and sleet. This is pretty much solid ice for a large portion of it. So it's going to take a while for it to melt, but melt it will.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the time with us this afternoon, and you have a good weekend.
All right, Todd, you too.
You too. That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Urbana-Champaign.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Have you dialed up 217-244-9455? If not, Dave Dickey has reasons why you should.
I have one more reason in addition to supporting this great agricultural service, and that is this. With your contribution to today, you'll feed two people for a day because Common Ground Food Co-op will contribute the cost of six meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank with your contribution. Give us a call at 217-244-9455. Know that you're feeding the hungry as well as supporting this agricultural service. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card, Todd.
It is important to do. 217-244-9455. Call us and the co-op will help out the food bank. Dave and I really like that. Actually, we're both active with the food bank, so if you want to help us help them, please do that now. 217-244-9455. That is the number to call and wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. Actually, no, of Commodity Week. Commodity Week doesn't start till 4:30, but, well, we'll have that one posted to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.